Hebrews chapter 2, verses 10 through 12. In bringing many sons to glory, it was fitting that God, for whom and through whom everything exists, should make the author of their salvation perfect through suffering. Both the one who makes men holy and those who are made holy are of the same family. So Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers. He says, I will declare your name to my brothers. In the presence of the congregation, I will sing your praises.
Dwight, you do a good job pinch hitting. That was good. If you'll open your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 2, we want to begin our study again here at this point. If you were in one of our Sunday school classes this morning, no doubt you studied out of Hebrews chapter 2. And so this morning, I want to focus on just one verse here. And the verse I want us to look at is in verse 11. For speaking of Jesus, it says, both the one who makes men holy and those who are made holy are the same family. This word holy is a very misunderstood word today. We use it in a variety of ways. We talk about holy smoke and holy cows and even holy Joes. And yet we, in a church setting, are more accustomed to hearing words like the Holy Bible or the Holy Spirit. When most people think of this word holy, they, in our world today, tend to think of statues and saints and mournful faces with eyes cast heavenward. It's not an especially attractive word. In fact, it seems rather dull and boring. Who wants to be holy? I don't know many folks that have that ambition on their goal list, wanting to be holy. It has become almost an exclusively Christian term in its true sense, and I'm afraid that many Christians are not really all that excited about becoming holy people. Let me tell you what biblical holiness is not, first. It is not living a life of isolation and deprivation. Holiness is not giving up food and conversation and adopting a celibate lifestyle. That's not what biblical holiness is about at all. It is not the stuff of mystics and gurus and those who sit and meditate all day long. Holiness is anything but boring. C.S. Lewis said, how little people know who think that holiness is dull. When one meets the real thing, he says, it is irresistible. And it is. If you know someone who is truly a holy person, it is extremely attractive. I've never been around holy people, but what I wanted to be just like them. Now, the first truth about holiness, and this is very, very important, is that holiness is not self-generated. It is God-generated. Look again at what he says here in verse 11. He talks about the one who makes men holy. It comes from God. It doesn't come from ourselves. You see, I don't become holy because I fast or because I pray or because I am involved in spiritual disciplines. These are all good things, but that is not the source of my holiness. I become holy only when there's a power much greater than myself transforms me, forgives me, cleanses me, washes me, makes me holy. That's the only way I can ever be holy. The one who makes men holy is Jesus Christ. He is the only one who can do that. You see, in spite of my best efforts, there is still so much about me that is unholy. And I suspect the same is true with you. It's by His cleansing, purifying blood that my sin stains are washed away and that I do, in fact, become holy. In Colossians chapter 1 and verse 22, Paul wrote, but now He, speaking of God, has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in His sight, without blemish and free from accusation, if you continue in your faith. Now, it is Jesus who not only makes us holy initially, it's Jesus who gives us the power and the strength to live lives that are holy. So even though we live in a sinful world, and even though we're still sinners as Christians, in Christ we have the power to resist sin, and we have the power to rise above sin. In Ephesians 5:3, Paul wrote, "But among you there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality, or of any kind of impurity, or greed, because these are improper for God's holy people." Now God, through Christ, makes us holy initially, and then He wants us to grow in that holiness. He wants us to become pure in heart, pure in mind. He wants us to move ever closer to that stage of sinlessness. We'll never get there in this life, but He wants us to become less and less involved in a sinful lifestyle, and wants us to grow in Christ. He says that sexual immorality, impurity, greed are all improper for God's holy people. So here we have it. We begin to grow and be more like Jesus, and as we do, we'll look back over long periods of life and we'll realize, you know, that's not nearly the problem today that it was back 10 years ago, 15 years ago. Those struggles that I had with this particular sin, I think I've just about overcome those. Now, I've got new ones, but I have overcome some of the ones that have gone in the past. Now, there's a danger in this. As we begin to grow in holiness, as we begin to see improvements, as we begin to overcome sin, we can begin to think that because our lives are cleaner, because our walk is more close to Jesus, that we are holy on the basis of what we've accomplished ourselves. Now that's wrong. That's wrong to ever allow that kind of thinking to creep into our minds. Holiness does not occur at the end of the process of a long Christian life. Holiness is there from the very beginning. Let's not make any mistake in this matter. Listen again to what Paul said in Colossians 1:22. "But now He, God, has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in His sight, without blemish and free from accusation, if you continue in your faith." We are made holy on the day that we come to Jesus Christ and confess Him as our Lord and Savior, and we go through those waters of baptism. We are washed, we are cleansed, we are made holy at the very beginning. Now, Paul says here, if you continue in your faith, he does not say, if you continue without sin. If we will continue to put our faith in Jesus Christ, if we will continue to trust Him, even when we sin, even when we fail, if we'll get up and continue to trust Him and ask for forgiveness and move on, we continue to be holy in Christ. We are made holy the day we became Christians. A new babe in Christ is just as holy as an 80-year-old preacher is, because it's Jesus that makes us holy. It's not our own goodness that does that. Now, there's another aspect of holiness that we often miss, and that is this. Holiness is not an end in and of itself. There are some church folks who think that the goal is to eventually completely understand the Bible, and so they're always involved in Bible study. There are some folks who think that the goal is to completely eradicate sin from their life, and so they're constantly striving to do that. Now, those are both good things to do. But holiness doesn't end with our becoming more knowledgeable. Holiness doesn't end with our becoming better and better people. The word holy, literally, you know what it means? The word holy literally means to be set apart for a special purpose. To be set apart for a special purpose. Now, I brought a special tool here this morning, and some of you have used one of these, a brace and a bit. Now, with power, we don't use these much anymore, but this is a specially designed tool, and it can really only do one thing well. It's designed to drill a hole in a piece of wood. Now, this bit's not designed to drill a hole in a piece of metal, only wood. Now, if I use this tool, it's a holy tool in one sense, in that it has been set aside for a particular purpose. You can't paint a door worth a hoot with this thing. You cannot spread butter with this tool. It won't work. You can't trim a hedge with this tool. But if you will use it for what it's been designed, it works remarkably well in drilling a hole in a piece of wood. Now, we have been set aside by God for a special purpose. We are to be tools in His tool belt. And when we understand that, holiness is the road to our usefulness by God in a special way. God makes us holy in order for us to serve. That's the end product. Don't stop with holiness. Don't just stop with trying to gain knowledge and be better. That only equips you for God's primary purpose, which is usefulness. We grow up in Christ in order to give. It's not enough to just keep learning more and more. We must act on what we know. Someone said, impression without expression leads to depression. And it does. Study without service leads to spiritual stagnation. Let me tell you a little truth. The last thing that many Christians need to be involved in is another Bible study. And this is why. They already know more than they're putting into practice. What most Christians need to do is put into practice the things that they've already studied and already know and already have in their mind. They need to translate them into action. James warned about this. Don't just listen to the word. Do what it says. Put what you have into action. You know, what we need are more opportunities for service. The end product of holiness is usefulness to God. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 21, he's talking to Timothy about wickedness. And he says there, if a man cleanses himself from the latter, all these bad things, he will be an instrument for noble purposes, made holy, useful to the master, and prepared to do any good work. You want to know what it means to be holy? According to this definition, being holy means being useful to God, being an instrument in the hands of God for His purposes. That's what holiness is. Holiness is not something you do off in a cave all by yourself. Holiness is something you do when you roll your sleeves up and you're helping people and you're glorifying God and you're serving. That's holiness. You know, it's a tragedy when holiness becomes the end goal. And I'm afraid in too many Christians' minds that is the end goal. That's always been a problem. That was a problem from the very beginning. One of the first things Jesus did was to sanctify the seventh day. And He made it holy. He blessed the Sabbath and made it holy. He set it apart for a special purpose. And it was meant to be a blessing to mankind. But by the time Jesus arrived on the scene, the people who had been given that blessing of the Sabbath had turned it around and they had made it a burden. And they had all these rules and regulations of what you can do and can't do. And everybody walked on eggshells every Sabbath because there were so many rules hedged around that day that the Sabbath was placed on a pedestal and it was almost worshipped. And so Jesus came along and He healed people on the Sabbath day and just upset the apple cart. And Jesus' disciples walked through the grain field and plucked grains of corn. And that just rattle the cages of everyone. And Jesus did all that to explain to them, you have stopped short of the purpose. The purpose is not just to glorify the Sabbath. The Sabbath was not intended that way. He said the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. And very often we can be short-sighted in our approach to holiness and believe that that's all there is. We just go that far and we're there and we've arrived, but we haven't. No, it's a tragedy. Anytime holiness becomes the end goal. You want to know how to be holy? You want to be holy? Well, it begins this way. Number one, you must accept holiness as a gift from God because you will never achieve it on your own. I don't care how good you ever grow to be, you will never grow to be holy through your own power. You'll get it one way, and that is through the blood of Jesus Christ. It is a gift by His grace. And when He gives you that gift of grace, then you are to grow and be like Him and through your association with Him and through time spent in the Word and yes, in spiritual disciplines, grow to be a person that is more and more like Jesus. But that's not where it ends. It ends in usefulness. There are two kinds of people in this world. There are those who give, and there are those who take. And it's okay to be a taker. We all started out in life as takers, and then we grew. And most of you started out as babes in Christ, as takers, and then you grew. And the goal is to be holy and to become givers and servers. You know, here in this congregation, anytime we have new people, new Christians or people that move in, the elders meet with those people and they give them a new members packet and talk with them. And there in that packet, they always emphasize, we have an involvement sheet. And we expect you, if you're part of this church family, to be involved. And there's a whole list of all kinds of things that you can be involved in. Now, that's not just a good idea. That is practical holiness. That's what holiness is all about involvement and service in the kingdom of God. We talk a lot here in this church about every member ministry. And we want every member to be involved in some form of ministry. And that's not just a slogan. That's what we're made for. That's God's end goal for every one of us here. This past Saturday morning, a group of our folks gathered out here to distribute angel food and help serve people in this community. And let me tell you, those were holy people. That's holiness. Serving. That's what holiness is ultimately all about. Now, God wants us to be holy people as we serve because He wants us to reflect well on Him. If you go out there with an immoral lifestyle and serve in the name of God, people will see you for what you are, a hypocrite. He wants us to be holy people, but He wants us to be holy so that when we do serve, we'll reflect well on Him. We'll honor Him. We'll glorify Him. This past week, there were lots of folks in this church that sat down and opened up their note cards and put pen to paper and wrote encouraging notes. We've got a whole ministry here that does that, who wrote notes to visitors and who can express themselves well in words, and they do that every week. Let me tell you, those are holy hands that are involved in that ministry. And we've got so many other things that people are involved in here. And these are people living holy lives when they serve and help and do all the things that they do like this in the name of Jesus Christ. You know, when you see that kind of holiness, it is irresistible. I want to be that kind of person. I want to serve that way. I want to be a giver in this world and not just a taker. A holy life makes a tremendous impact for good. You know, a lighthouse doesn't blow a horn, it just shines. And when God's people just shine through their holy lives of service, that is so attractive. That speaks eloquently in ways that no sermon can ever speak. You know, and it doesn't matter how small your deeds of service are. It's sometimes the smallest words and the smallest actions that have the greatest impact of all. As we let our light shine in this world, I just think about in our house, the biggest light that we have in our house is the light in our dining room, over the dining room table, and it's actually several globes there that light up that room. But that's not the most important light in my house. You know what light's the most important light in my house? It's the night light in my bathroom. I don't stub my toe with that little light. Now, we can let our light shine, and they don't have to be magnificent. The smallest ones can be the most helpful on many occasions. Peter said in 1 Peter 2:9, "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light." God makes men holy, and He does it through Jesus. And He does it so that we can serve and so that we can declare His praises in a world of darkness. Let me tell you this morning, if you're not a Christian, and if you've considered Jesus, and you sometimes, I hear people say, "I could never live up to the Christian lifestyle. I could never be good enough." Let me tell you a little secret. You can leave here today as holy as anyone who's been here for years and years, because it's Jesus that makes you holy. He's the one that washes you and cleanses you. He's the one that starts you on that road. And yes, you are going to make mistakes and you're going to fall down, but so do we all. It's not about perfection. It's about direction. Will you give your heart to Him? Will you follow Him? Will you allow Him to make you holy? If you will, we invite you this morning to come as we stand and sing.